Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. Opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Black Butter Love Show this Friday night here at the Lotus Place. Come on in. It is time to talk about relationships, sex, and love. Isn't that right, Feather Light? Ooh, that rhyme. Isn't that right, Feather Light?
It's so true, so true. It's all about love and sex. Love and sex.
Making that relationship what it needs to be, making it special.
Yes.
Making it something that you're happy to participate in. You know, I always envision a relationship not being like the sore spot of your life, like you're always rolling your eyes when somebody mentioned that person's name. Or complaining about what they didn't do, what they did, you know, all of that stuff.
Yes,
I always envision relationships just being so happy and, you know, you're excited about coming home to that person.
Not like to see them again.
Yeah, seeing them again. Unlike with some you know, men that may want to go a million other places before they make it home.
Right, before they go
they don't
home.
Feel like being bothered with your tired ass and the children, you know.
Nagging.
They want to hang out.
Yeah. Yes.
Nagging milk is a nagging milk.
You know what I've been through all day long.
And these children, they doing this and they doing that, and where you been all day, and you couldn't take Bobby to so-and-so, and you didn't take it, and I need to get some more shoes, and we need some groceries,
and we need
a new bed. Yeah, we need this bedroom suit, and you said you was going to fix that chair this weekend, and you ain't fix that chair yet. It's Friday night. You said you was going to fix the chair this weekend. I sound like Vespuccin. That's my Vespuccin, from Norbert before. You said you were going to fix the chair this weekend. It's Friday night. You ain't fix that chair yet. We gonna fix that chair. I'm gonna put you up out of here. Me and the kids gonna leave you.
Ooh, Lord have mercy, child.
I don't blame some of these men, honey. I wouldn't come home either. And then you look a mess. Your hair is not done. You got that bonnet that I can't stand on your head. You got a moo-moo on.
And you put on when you woke up and you still have it on at night.
Exactly.
All day
you
long.
Went to the store, you went to the mall, and everywhere else is that damn bunny.
Later off. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Went to Later Off, went to Target.
Target.
I'm telling you, you just went to Kroger. Everywhere. hell, Mont, and you still look the same.
Yeah.
And then you talking about how come he didn't come home. Shit. Child, please. He is out looking
at
somebody.
And those little dusty fairy shoes that look like they've never seen a washing machine.
Oh, God.
I can't stand
Thank goodness. Now I don't even go places where people may be walking around with their stuff on anymore. I don't really see them too much anymore. Thank goodness, because they used to make me want to do a documentary on them. Okay, why do you wear this bonnet on your head and you're laid off? Where are your clothes?
Yes,
why do you have on your PJs?
Why do you have on your PJs? Do you think
at
that's
the store?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why you have on your PJs at the store? So, yeah, we're all about helping people have happy, healthy, wholesome relationships. We're not just ragging on you about that, but, I mean, you need to keep yourself together, really, ladies. We have to keep ourselves together.
We
keep
really
yourself
do.
Fit. Not saying you have to be skinny in a size 6.
It's a big difference.
But you got to keep yourself fit, keep in shape. Don't get out of shape and blubbery and about to have a heart attack, you know, and all that. Like
climbing up 8 steps and you can't make it.
Exactly. Yeah. Drink your water. Mm-hmm. Drink your. Give them their recipe for the morning detox.
Oh yes.
This is a good thing to do first thing in the morning.
Okay, so instead of, in lieu of, you remember how you always said it, in lieu of, coffee, here's
I drink my coffee after I finish drinking this, so.
Okay.
You know, I love
in lieu of and in addition to. This is a very good pick-me-up that you can take in the morning first thing. Actually, you should do it before you put anything else in your system, okay, before you put
that
coffee in there. All right, that's very good. Okay, so heat yourself up a cup of water, warm water. It doesn't really have to be warm water because, you know, I don't do the microwave. You know, and you might not want to heat up just a cup of water. You can have just room temperature water if you like. Of course, warm is better. Now, because, you know, if you have one of those little coffee things where it just comes out hot water, I have one of those, so you can do that.
Like a Keurig.
Cup of hot water, cayenne pepper. And when I say cayenne pepper, I mean to taste. To your taste, you know, it's a pinch, you know, of all you can handle, you know, baby school, you know, baby steps, okay. Say, like, you know, a pinch in a cup, all right, of cayenne pepper. Then a lemon juice, half a lemon, or you can do a whole lemon, a small lemon. Lemon or lime, either one is good.
I like lime.
I do too. I love lime.
Did you know lemon is a hybrid fruit?
Right. Exactly. Yes, it's not the first. The lime comes first. Let's see. Okay. Then, you can have a little bit of honey. Not that processed honey. Do you put honey in yours? You don't have to have honey. Honey just gives it.
I use the taste.
Grade B maple syrup.
Yeah, I use the maple syrup.
Okay, grade B maple syrup. Not just regular maple syrup, everybody. Grade B has all the vitamins in it. Okay.
Not Mrs. Butterworth.
Okay, grade B. You can also, like an eighth of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. An eighth. Okay, not a fourth. I do a fourth because I can handle it. Okay, glass of warm or hot water, juice of lime or lemon. It's optional to have a little raw honey or ginger. Now, Let me explain how this will help you. Cayenne pepper gives you the pep and energy. Okay, that's what people like in coffee. It's really better for you in coffee, but I know it's hard to turn it loose. So like do like Black Rose does, do this first, then grab your coffee. It brings the blood to your surface of your body and allows the toxins that you know you have, that we all have, to be taken away. It warms your body to speed up the metabolism. So that's good. That's really good. As you get older, your metabolism slows down. Past 35, 40, it begins to slow down. So this warms your body, and it speeds up the metabolism. Ginger, of course, you know it has been used to, you know, it helps you with their digestion. It reduces nausea, fights flu, colds, stuff like that. It helps actually helps lower your blood sugar. And it's an anti-inflammatory, and it's also good for muscle pain. So it's just packed, you know, with great benefits, ginger. Then raw honey. Now, it's important that you use raw honey instead of processed honey, because raw honey is pure. It's actually from, it's nectar from flowers, okay? It's pure, it's not heated, it's not pasteurized, and it's not processed. So raw honey doesn't ferment in your stomach like the processed honey that you can get for like $2, okay? So it's alkaline forming. So our bodies are mostly alkaline, so that's good. It's versus acid, okay? Like processed honey. Processed honey is acid, okay? So it gives you also honey. It gives you a boost of energy because it's in the sugar family, all right? So this whole little setup of this lemon water recipe that I gave you, it reduces inflammation. It aids in your digestion. It brings your body back to the proper pH balance with that lemon, okay? Like I said, your body is more alkaline than it is acid. It helps you to lose weight because it's speeding up your metabolism. It cleanses your system. And who doesn't want their system to be clean? Woo-hoo. Keeps your skin blemish-free. I have no blemishes. It gives your immune system a boost. And it's an excellent source of potassium, and get a load of this one. Oh, it freshens your breath first thing in the morning.
No wonder my breath been so fresh. Shoot, I need to go kiss somebody.
Yes.
Go kiss somebody.
So that is a really, really quick and easy and very, very beneficial morning drink, okay? Let me give it to you again for those who didn't have pencil and paper to start with. An eighth teaspoon of cayenne pepper, a glass of warm or hot water, the juice of lemon or lime. I prefer lime. Optional ingredients are raw honey, capitalized raw, R-A-W, raw honey, not processed, and or ginger. Of course, your honey gives you that extra boost of energy. It makes it taste good. I love it. Or you can have grade B molasses. I've been using that because I'm out of raw honey. And it tastes just as good. And of course, the grade B molasses you won't find everywhere. You can only get that in the health food stores because it is packed with minerals and nutrients and all that good stuff. And of course, everybody knows about ginger. So that is my healthy recipe to share with everyone. I hope that some of you, many of you, maybe all of you, will take advantage of this simple, quick, easy, and healthy recipe for the morning. First thing, okay? That's a wonderful way to break your fast, okay? Break fast, breakfast. Doesn't mean that you have to have 3 slices of bacon, 2 eggs, 2 slices of toast, grits, you know, all that. It's that's the food industry telling you that. You know, when you have a fast, when you go on a fast yourself, like I'm gonna fast from Friday to Sunday, da da da. On Monday, you don't pack your stomach with a bunch of heavy foods, you know, because your stomach has been shrinking. It has been without heavy foods, and that's going to put it into shock. It's not going to be good. It's going to make your stomach overwork itself. So that's what we're doing when we have these huge breakfasts first thing in the morning after you've had all this time fasting. Okay, that's my little speech on breakfast.
Thank you so much. And the word breakfast
comes from breaking your fast, because you fast exactly. overnight while you're sleeping. So you do have to take special steps in breaking that fast every morning. You know, I read that you shouldn't eat any meat before 10 a.m.
Hmm.
No meat. None at all.
So actually, you really should not eat before 12, but yeah, that makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
I'll tell you.
So where did you find that at, and what did it say?
Oh, I can't.
I mean, what did it say? I mean,
your health nut. What?
No, I mean, but what does it do? Over
oh, because your stomach
what?
Is not right. It's
right.
a part of breaking the fast. Your body's
right.
not ready to work to break down meat, to digest
right.
any meat that early. So
right,
you, have,
right,
you
okay.
should wait until after 10 a.m. So
mm-hmm.
one reason why we feel, some people feel sluggish and the need to have an energy drink or a coffee or something like that is because you mix in that protein, the meat, and then like pancakes, and you should
mm-hmm.
not mix those two together.
Yeah.
And then you do it first
exactly.
thing in the morning. So it's just like
yeah.
really throwing your body out. And that's why it just has to be an absolute complete lifestyle change.
Yes, it does.
You just have to relearn how to eat, because America have you eating the wrong foods, combining the wrong foods, eating the wrong foods, eating at bad times. You know, I'm really, 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 really this summer especially going to work on just moving to more fruits. Not even a lot of vegetables, but like more fruits, especially in the daytime, just to stay dehydrated and cool. Because like when we were out today, I thought I was going to fall out. Well, I didn't think I was going to fall out, but I mean, you know, I was thirsty.
Extremely, yeah.
Extremely
yeah.
thirsty. So I know this has turned into a health segment, but, you know, if you're not healthy, how can you have a relationship? You have to be healthy, though, because guess what? No offense, but I don't feel like a man with a bunch of medical issues.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't feel like all of that. When we're in our 80s together, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, when I'm 45, I don't feel like taking care of a man like he's 75.
Right.
So we need to take care of our, and women, vice versa. Don't a man want to take care of your butt right now? Because he'll be out, what did my grandmother used to say? Loping in the street with some other women. Because
yeah.
you're sick and tired, you know. You know, I'm not saying don't take care of a loved one. I'm not saying that. Don't get me wrong. But it's better when you both can be healthy together. Where you can do things together. You can travel. You can go to the park and walk
right.
around without getting hot.
Right.
Too overheated. It's just better
sex. Yeah.
Definitely
yep.
better
yep.
sex.
Yeah.
Definitely better sex.
Got that energy
so,
going.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, the energy
yeah.
going.
And then not only the energy, but if you're taking care of yourself, your body isn't aching all the time. Just when you make a certain move, you know, like, oh, don't do that, don't
mm-hmm.
do that, oh, you
mm-hmm.
know, that would really break my mood.
you know, I snicker because I can remember an incident like this with that, and the guy, I'm going to get a little explicit, but it is Black Brother Love Show, so the guy was coming up off his knees, and then he was like, oh, and grabbed his bag, like, oh. Oh, I'm getting old. I said, Lord, have mercy. You're not even 50. And talking about, I'm getting old.
I'm getting old.
Man,
you
need
you better
to quit it. You
walk
need
around
to quit
the track
it.
A few times.
You
walk
better do
around
something. I'm telling you, men need to start doing some yoga, too. But listen, we're talking about, of course, it's Black Butter Love. Here at the Lotus Place, and we're talking about relationships, love, sex, but in particularly tonight, oh, and we're always sharing dating tips, but in particular tonight, in reference to all of the date rape scandals that have been going on at Columbia, Baylor University, Stanford, and so many others. I was reading this article the other day. I should have pulled that article up. With all these different campuses that have had these various date rape incidents, non-consensual rapes, non-consensual sex acts taking place. So tonight we want to talk about avoiding date rape, and I am going to share a story. And if you have a story, please feel free to call in and share your story here as well. We're talking about non-consensual sex. Non-consensual sex. You did not agree to that act. Right, Aja? Non-consensual,
exactly.
Non-consensual sex. I want you to expound on that. Exactly. I want you to expound on that shortly. And we're also discussing relationship expectations. Relationship expectations. Yes. So dating and sex, feather light, are beautiful. Mm. But are you protecting yourself? How are you protecting yourself? Have you taken a self-defense class? Do you have... Right. Do you have, say, his license plate and social security number? And a friend has that information just in case anything happens? Because I remember when we were in college, because, I mean, you taught me well, Feather. When we were in college, we would take down, we needed your license plate number. If you were on campus, we would need, of course, your name and room number, the building you're in, and your roommate's name. And we need to see, we need to see a picture of your ID.
Yep.
Because, you know, we moved off of, we moved off campus my sophomore year. Was it my sophomore year? No, my junior year. It was my junior year because my sophomore year we stayed in the suite. But yeah, when we moved into that apartment off campus, especially when we moved into the apartment, but we used to always do that, though. We would say, okay, who is he? This, this, and that. And like, we just always made sure that we were extra safe and careful. And it's like when the guys knew that, it just added that extra layer of protection. They wouldn't try anything funny. But you know, with me, I guess because also I just always didn't walk in too much fear on dates, because I just always felt like I was tough. I was always like, look, honey, you better not. I will bust your head. So I guess they kind of pretty much knew. You know, I wasn't always tried like that. But now I did have some instances when I let my guard down. Now I'll share those. But yes, so relationship expectations. Like, what do you expect in relationships? Do you expect for him to open the door? Do you expect for him to call you at certain times or a certain number of times a day? Do you expect for him to take you shopping? Do you expect for him to cook for you? Does he expect for you to cook for him? Things like that. I think quite often we rush so much going into relationships that we don't have time to share these things with someone. So when they pop off and do commit some kind of act that you don't like, and then you all in a hissy fit, and the other person like, damn, why are you tripping? You know, I didn't know, because a lot of times they didn't know because you didn't communicate that fact. You didn't communicate, they were completely unaware of the fact that you expect this certain thing.
Right.
So that's why we have to really just slow it down, pump the brakes, and take our time and be friends with the person so that you can know this person. And you already know because you've watched them in other relationships, perhaps.
And that's why when I meet men and I'm in a relationship with them, or not even like in a relationship, but like we're just going out, we're still getting to know each other, I like for them to date other women and talk to me about the other women so I can see exactly how you treat women. I love it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know exactly. We should be friends to the point where you can talk to me about how this date went, what she did, so I know what you like, what you don't like.
Right.
How you respond to women. How are you treating women? So I love to meet men and take my time with them now. I wish I knew that or practiced that when I was younger. But, I mean, that's the whole thing. We live and we learn, and that's why I love being around people or talking to people that have that experience. I don't want a goody-two-shoes that have not experienced anything. Because, how the hell can you tell me something? You can tell me a little something, but it always... It's more poignant when someone comes from a standpoint of experience for me, because you can give me those details.
Right, been there, done that, walked in those shoes.
Exactly. Been down that road. Before we go to break, though, could you talk a little bit about non-consensual sex and take us into our break, if you will?
Okay. Non-consensual sex, just because a person is kissing and hugging and being lovable and affectionate, does not mean that they are ready for intercourse. Guys get this mixed up. Sometimes they do on purpose, because I have been told many times, because I'm an affectionate person, I'm a passionate person, but if we get to a point where I see that the person, the male, wants to go into an area that I'm not ready for, and they become forceful, and I push and say no, and they still are forceful, that's non-consensual. Whether I have kissed him, I let him love me, whatever. If I say no, if I only not only verbally say no, but give him the body movements to push and say no, then that means no. If a man hears the word N-O, that means stop.
Or a woman,
because there can be some aggressive women out there. I think Scotty was saying something about one of his relationships. The woman was very aggressive. I may have this wrong, but before he was ready, and then she would pull away, play those little games. But either way, if the word no is spoken, then pull up the brakes. Because if you go on, if you continue, then that's considered as rape. That is considered as rape. Whether you are in a relationship or not, if you say no, then you mean no. And that's non-consensual. If the person goes ahead and starts to taking off your clothes, and you're pulling up your panties, and he's pulling them down, and he's taking off your bra, and you're pulling up your... If you've got the struggle, then that's not consensual. If you've got the serious struggle, I don't mean laughing and playing. No, seriously struggling. And they can tell that look on your face, your voice changes, and all of that. They know that means no. And if they continue on, that's rape. That's non-consensual sex. That is non-consensual sex. And you can bring up charges. You can bring up charges. If somebody takes you, that's your body, whether it's a man or a woman. That's your body. And sometimes people make the mistake of thinking it's because you're in a relationship, or you kiss somebody, or you hug somebody, or what have you, that that's theirs. No. Yeah,
and just think about the laws that were still on the book. I think if there was a law still on, it was, this law was still on the books in Tennessee for, maybe up into 30 years ago, I think. But there was no such thing as like rape between a man and a wife.
Right, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a woman.
You know who wrote that?
Oh God, of course. Well, let's take a break and we'll come back with our topic and more tonight. You're tuned in to The Lotus Place with Black Rose and Featherlight, and it is the Black Butter Love Show, and we'll be right back. Hey.
Hey.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium. The Black Talk Radio Network is made possible in part with help from the Black Talk Media Project, a North Carolina-based nonprofit engaged in the production and distribution of independent digital black media. Find out more by going to blacktalkradionetwork.com or blacktalkmediaproject.org and look for the menu tab, Crowdfunding Black Media. Black Talk Media Project, helping to provide you with new black media for the new millennium. You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio, new black media for the new millennium.
Ashley, this is just common sense, right? First off, you got to buy your own drinks, and you got to keep your eye on them, because if you don't think there aren't people out there that will do that, you're wrong, because they will. You are right to be concerned. Buy your own drink, control it, and have a wingman, a wingwoman in your case, that can watch so this doesn't happen, because that's not a myth. It is happening, and those date rape drugs can render you really incapacitated. Dr. Oz, true?
Knock you down. You know, they use these parts of these medications to sedate animals for surgery, and they're powerful products. But there are other drugs that are out there now. The bath salts, how many of you guys have heard of bath salts?
I just heard about that.
They're synthetic products that, methadrone is one of them. They act like amphetamine, some of them.
Is it a pill?
It's a pill.
It's a pill.
And they're called bath salts because it turns out if you don't call it a drug, the U.S. government doesn't get involved in it, doesn't regulate it at all. See, I actually go down to stores. We went to a little undercover sting. You can go into stores in downtown Manhattan, I'm sure we can do it here in California, and just buy the stuff off the counter. No one's restricting it at all. Once you know about it, you won't take it anymore. It gives you a high, but it's very dangerous because it's completely unregulated.
And it doesn't look like a bath salt.
They're called bath salt.
I know, but they
come in pill form. You can snort them. There are lots of things you can do with them. And then, of course, there's K2 and spice, and the synthetic products are also unpredictable, which is what worries me the most. You don't even know what you're getting, and you think you're being recreational.
Baylor University fired its head football coach today and demoted its president, Kenneth Starr. The shakeup follows a legal review that found the Baptist University mishandled several cases of sexual assault involving football players. Here's Anna Werner.
The report faulted Baylor for a wholly inadequate response, saying the university failed to take appropriate action to respond to reports of sexual assault reportedly committed by football players. It said two university administrators directly discouraged complainants from reporting, and in one case even retaliated against someone who reported a sexual assault. The university responded today by stripping the title of president from Kenneth Starr, who was the one-time special prosecutor who led President Clinton's impeachment trial involving White House intern Monica Lewinsky. And they fired football coach Art Briles. Briles is credited with turning around the football program, but today some are questioning at what cost. Baylor Board Chairman Richard Willis apologized during a teleconference.
We're deeply sorrowful about these events. We're just horrified by the extent of the acts of sexual violence on our campus.
At least six women have accused eight Baylor football players of violence.
It is not enough.
Jasmine Hernandez sued Baylor in March, claiming after she was raped, the school ignored her pleas for counseling and justice. The player who assaulted her is now serving a 20-year sentence.
Hiding these very egregious acts of crime only allows them to continue further and to continue repeatedly.
Kenneth Starr remains Baylor's chancellor and a tenured law professor, but Charlie, Baylor told reporters on that teleconference call that he will no longer have any operational responsibilities.
Thanks, Anna.
We're back here at the Lotus Place. You can call in 641-715-3666. Zero, and the participant code is 549032. Press pound and press star 61 if you'd like to speak. And speaking of speak, we have Delta Cougar on the line. Delta.
Yeah. Hi, everybody doing tonight? Is everything going okay tonight?
Spectacular.
Oh, that is so good. That is just great. Well, Delta Cougar been so... excuse me. Well, I was about to say Delta Cougar been so hot out there in that Delta that they selling them water. Selling them watermelons and them onions and bell peppers and cucumbers and... Delta Cougar was so hot. And it wasn't the love hot. It was the steamy, sweaty hot.
That's love hot too, not Delta Cougar. Steamy.
Delta, get those watermelons. Delta, where can they find you down if people are traveling that way?
Because they're traveling in.
How can they find you?
They can come down on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I'm in Goshen, Mississippi. I'm on Latina Road in Goshen. And all you have to do is go on Facebook and Google Dorothy Dunning. And one thing about
that,
it, when
you... How do you spell that, Dorothy?
Oh, well, look, let me spell D-O-R-O-T-H-Y, Dunning, D-U-N-N-I-N-G, Goshen, D-A-U-T. Okay, you don't want it. I-E-R.
No, that's good. See, I didn't even know
that people need to know.
Because
it sounds like Gosha, G-O-S-H-A. The way you spell it to me sounds like Gaudier. But you know what? I asked another young man from Louisiana, because I told him, I said, when she tells me that, I just swear that that's not how that city is supposed to be pronounced. And he said, no, that's right, that's right.
It's G-A-U-T-I-E-R. And one thing about it, when you come into Goshen, everybody, we are known for our watermelons. Everybody seeks us out for our watermelons. You just ask the people about the lady that sells the watermelons. Everybody will direct you to me. And then also, we selling collard greens now. We're selling collard greens, so if anybody needs any collard greens or turnip greens, we're selling collard greens and turnip greens.
Wow. We have to start your Instagram page.
Those were the best watermelons I've ever had in my life.
Oh, my God.
How many did we have? We had two, I know.
Watermelons are very sweet.
They last a long time.
Oh, my God.
They are good, and our watermelons are $7. Our cantaloupe are $2.50. Our big cantaloupe is $3. We sell our cucumbers $2 for $1. We sell, and I had a little special going today. I sold four ears of corn today for $1, and I gave them three tomatoes for $1, but they big tomatoes. And we had green tomatoes. We sold them for $2. Real fresh homemade tomatoes. Papa pulled them this morning. He gets up at 4 o'clock in the morning, goes to the field and pull them. and we sell the zucchini for large zucchini for $1. We sell the eggplant for $1.
What?
And,
oh, that's a great
We sell
I
the
love
okra for $1.50 a pound. We sell our purple herb peas, $2 a pound. And we sell our Vidalia onions for $2 for $1, and they're real big. And if they're little, we sell them $3 for $1. And then, and let me tell you, I take the Vidalia onions and I just cut them and saute them and eat them just like that. Then we had the purple onions. The purple onions, we sell them for $1.50. And let's see what
purple
else.
Onions are great
we have our squash. We have the squash, $3 for $1. And what else? Let me try and think. That we and the cucumbers, they $2 for $1. Then we have the jalapeno peppers, and we got a new type of pepper. And my friend girl told me we sell the peppers $10 for $1. Or we and listen, we got good red potatoes. Papa dig them up out of the ground, and we don't wash the dirt off of them. We used to wash the dirt off our potatoes. But the little old ladies told us, do not wash the dirt off the potatoes. They said, leave the dirt on the potatoes because the dirt, the clay dirt, help keeps the potatoes longer. It make it last longer. They don't fall as fast.
I believe that.
And then we got
Do you have some beets?
No, we don't have no beets.
Oh, you mentioned everything but
no,
beets.
We don't have beets. Well, Papa
you have everything
too hot
else
to raise beets on our end.
Oh, really?
We got big old huge bell peppers. And you can take them and we need to do a show on recipes. We've been saying we're going to do that.
We sure do.
We got a whole meal there.
Look, Delta, we need to go ahead on and get into your hot topics. And let's get into your hot topics, and then Featherlight has a reading for us. So let me get your music, Delta. I finally have your music. Delta Cougar with a hot topic.
I love it.
What's going on in the world?
Well, let's move on to Texas today. Y'all made this CNN news again today. I had a black gentleman went to the airport today, and he was so upset with his children's mother, he took a large brick and smashed out all her windows in her car and tried to smash her in the head. And the police had to shoot him today, and they had to shoot him several times. And the reason they shot him several times is everybody pulled their cell phones out and began the video, because after the man had the rock, he went towards the pole, and it was a huge rock too. It wasn't no little rock. And they said him and they later was having domestic problems. And he tried to take the rock and go towards the police with it. And they told him several times to put it down, and he didn't, and they shot him. So my papa said they should have shot him. And papa said they should have shot him.
Papa, tough boy.
Because he wasn't really not. I must say so. They videoed it. Everybody had their cell camera out. And the police warned him and kept telling him to stay back.
I'm just shocked that they even warned him, you know?
Well, they did. That's what I said.
I'm surprised.
The police warned him and told him to sit down, stay down, stay down. And the man jumped up and told them to kill me, kill me, kill me. Mm.
mental
and
issue.
And so I guess, yeah, he was so upset with the woman. They said the woman was taking the kids away. And he was so upset with the woman. And he tried to smash her head in while the kids didn't call. So they got out and they shot him and killed him. And that happened in Texas today.
Yeah, that was at the Dallas Airport in Dallas. Dallas off the chain. I tell people Dallas is off the chain. But you know what? I wonder, was she escaping him, trying to escape from an abusive relationship?
Yeah.
Because apparently he had
him to be
mental
that heated,
issues.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He had
about
some mental issues. You picking up those huge stones outside
the
of the airport.
The police.
She did something to him or something. They did something to each other. Because
For her to be at the airport leaving, you know, it's not like they've been discussing it, you know, like, we're leaving Wednesday.
Well.
All right. And then all of a sudden he gets angry. I think she was sneaking away. I think she was running away. And he found out about it and caught up with her. And knew that he wasn't going to see those children anymore.
Yeah,
no.
That's what I said too.
I mean, that's
because they said they had kids together, and what happened is, I said the same thing. She was trying to leave with the kids, and he just lost it. That's my theory now.
That's my theory too.
Well, let's move on to the next topic. Let's move on down toward New York City.
They have a young lady.
Now, this is kind of a little sad case. They have a young 15-year-old girl, and she was an honor student. And what happened was she was taking a shower, and her best friend videoed her. And she videoed her in the bathtub. And when she videoed her, she turned around. After she videoed her, she took it. And this is supposed to be the best friend. That's why you have to be careful. You have to be very careful. Everybody's not your friend. You got a lot of people pretend to be your friend.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that
is correct. So anyway, the young lady, they took her. And her friend sent her pictures around to all the other kids at school. The young girl, she's a little black girl, she was so distraught over the picture being shown to all the people.
How could somebody do something like that?
She came home. Her mother said she was in the bathroom and the light was off. And the mother said she couldn't get in the bathroom, but mother said when she finally got in, she opened the door and she said she just saw blood everywhere. The little girl left a suicide note and blew her brains out. Shot herself in the head and blew her brains
out.
Shot herself and killed herself. And see, this is what happened is the kids of today are so, the kids are not like we are today.
Oh, no.
They call bullying the kids. I think they won't let kids stand up and be kids anymore. Parents have to get involved. And we're making the kids really today too fragile. We really are. I mean, that's my opinion.
They don't know anything about.
They run to their parents. They want their parents. That's right.
They get everything that they ask for.
That is correct.
You know? I mean, you could be living barely paying your electricity bill, but when Christmas comes around, I'm seeing these little kids with these very expensive little things that the stars have on TV. You put feet on them and they roll around and they have all these
you are absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. You're right. And let me finish telling you, then we're going to go out. And I got to tell you something about that little thing. So the young lady shoots herself and kills herself. So now the school, they are
trying to charge all these kids that had the pictures with a felony.
What? Oh, okay. Whoa.
They are trying to, yeah, because
everything is going to be a felony.
Because it's a new picture, and they pass the picture around.
Pornographic. So that's like child pornography.
That
and
is correct.
What they call it, because she's cyberbullying. Yeah, and
that
that's cyberbullying. And see, they their law was started after that little girl, something similar happened. One of her friends posted her picture all over the internet, well, texted to everybody, whatever, put it all out on social media, whatever. Mm-hmm. And the girl committed suicide. She was cyberbullied. It was the little girl and the little girl's mom all over some darn boy.
And the mama did.
And the girl ended up committed suicide. They were pretending like they were the boy online.
Okay.
And then they started saying all of these
calls. Absolutely
okay.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And let me move on, because you just made me thought about something, Black Rose. There was another case I was intending to talk about the other night, and I forgot. There was a black mother who was about 35 or 36, was so upset because her son, now look, this is a teenager. She was so upset because her son's girlfriend broke up with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl was no more than 12 or 13 years old. So you got a lot of people encouraged this stuff. To me, I think at 12 and 13, your mind should be on your books. You shouldn't even, that boyfriend and girlfriend shouldn't even be on your mind. Back then, when I was about 15, I called myself trying to lock a bubble, but I was lacking him in my mind. Because if I'd have thought it out, my mother would have killed me. My father would kill me. But now the kids today, the parents encourage it. But okay, this mother got so upset. The boy had a picture. Her son had a picture of the little girl when she was 12. Mm-hmm. They called themselves liking each other, and the little girl didn't have her top on. She was topless. Her breast was exposed. The boy's mother. Now listen, these ghetto fabulous mothers. Ghetto fabulous mother took the picture and posted it all over internet with the girl breast showing.
What?
Now, yes, the mother did this because she broke up with her son. And these kids is like 16, 9, 17 now. But do you not know that mother is being charged with a sexual crime? They charged that mother with 5 or 6 felonies.
Wow.
Now the mother got to register as a sex offender.
Sexual offender. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean,
she ruined herself trying to get insurance. Trying to get insurance. That was insurance mess.
Exactly.
Now her life is ruined. Now she got to register as a sex offender.
No, but see, these children, the mothers, some of them are so young. And they're still children themselves.
Yeah.
And so they all up in their children's business.
They sure are. They sure are.
You know, they're just a few years older than the children.
Yeah.
So that's just like a big sister. So they all in the business.
Wow.
And carrying
that's
on.
Like
it's
that,
it's
like
not.
That.
It's just not like when we were growing up. Your mother was, you know, 20 years older than you. You know, at least 15, 16, 17 years older than you.
These
children are, you know, they're only like 12 years older than their children. 13.
Yeah, that's like a
big sister, big brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're all up in these children business.
They are. Mm-hmm. And you got, see, that's what I'm seeing. And this is what.
In the wrong
Ice
way,
Hot,
all up in their business.
And this is what Icy
exactly
Hot used to say.
Huh.
Icy Hot said that we had a lot of teenage mothers who is not like years ago when she was teaching in school, the mothers and the youngest mothers compared to the older mothers is totally different. You got a lot of young ghetto mothers, and I hate to say it like that, it sounds really ugly, but you got a lot of young ghetto mothers.
Let's just say like a lot of mothers
They just thugged
that,
out.
That have been,
they'll take their cure in the fight.
They've just been brought up in an environment where they didn't have anybody raising them, and they lack parental skills. And
exactly.
That's why we need to continue to have more shows where we are sharing what it is to be a woman, what it is
you
to be a
absolutely correct.
Lady.
You absolutely
we have to help these
correct.
Children because they don't have, they some of them, they just, they didn't have, like your mother, what's your mother's name, God rest her soul?
My mother's name was Carrie Bell Jacob. And this is what I was telling my granddaughter today. My mother and father had 10 girls and 8 boys, and my daddy was a little short man, and my brothers and them stood over my father. My brothers and them stood like 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", I mean, just way taller than my daddy. They, mm-hmm. My daddy looked up, I had to look up at them, but he didn't have nothing in that house that mm-hmm. him and my mother couldn't control. I told my granddaughter today, and this, and I don't mean to offend nobody. I told my granddaughter today, I said, your coochie is so hot. I said, she's 13 and she's real hot, hot as a firecracker. And I told her, I said, girl, when I was coming up, my mother didn't have male pussy in the house that she couldn't keep under control. I said, she kept it under control. And I mm-hmm. said, this is what's wrong with the kids today. They don't keep it under control because the mama ain't got time, because the mama out doing her thing, and the young girls are raising themselves and raising the other 6 or 7 kids at home. You may have a 15 or 12-year-old girl raising 6 or 7 kids. And it's sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so
I'm
sad.
So thankful. I'm just so thankful that I didn't have to step up and be a mom and raise about 3 or 4 other siblings. Oh my God. You take the children's childhood away like that. When the mother's
really
either
do.
Working so many jobs or she's
to.
Just an absent
yeah.
mother, however, whenever.
Yeah.
Right. That's just, I feel so sorry for children like that. And I think that that's why you see some of these girls these days, when you look at them in the face, they look old as hell. They look, I look
old.
Younger than them. They
that
look so damn
correct.
Old and
so
broke
old.
Down and stressed
yeah.
out. And I
know.
Say, God, I mean, they look. Old. Oh my goodness. And when I see a young girl that looks young now, I'm like, wow, that's great. That's beautiful.
Too.
That's
I
a child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, Del, do you have any more hot topics so we can go ahead
yes,
on and
this,
our break
this is my last one. This is my last
okay.
one. Okay. Muhammad Ali, mm-hmm. there was a news story that Muhammad
Can't
Ali had
him.
Had an affair with a woman in Texas, and he had had an affair with this woman like for over 30 mm-hmm. years, and he has a daughter with this woman, and they said the other day on the news, the girl was on Entertainment Tonight, and she was saying that she was hoping that they would let her come to the funeral, but she said her mother was Muhammad Ali's mistress for 20 or 30 some years, and the girl was saying that she had met her father, she had met Muhammad Ali's other kids, but she was hoping that his family would let her come to the funeral. She said also Muhammad Ali signed her birth certificate. Have y'all heard that story? That story was on the news the other night.
No, I haven't heard this story.
But they've had a picture of her, and oh my God, she looked just like him. She looked identical to him.
You know what? I feel that this is really not like, oh my God. I mean, everybody knew that he was a womanizer. He loved women.
Right.
Had a lot of children.
You know, the flair, the good looks, the charm. You know,
well, I would have had a baby by.
Me too. I mean, really, Muhammad Ali. You know, and yeah, I would doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, men do it all the time.
Right.
Family over here, family over there. Here, family there, family everywhere, family, family. You know,
every time somebody dies, here comes somebody saying, "That's my daddy."
Exactly. Every time, you know, they gotta be famous. Like, you know, I'm the long lost half sister down from the line of, and I've been living in, you know, despair. You know,
these people say that stuff so much. Yeah, they probably even tried to say that. Somebody probably tried to say they were Luther's son, Luther Vandross, after he died. That's my daddy. Whatever. I mean, probably is his child, but this is not the time for that. You to be trying to beg to come to the funeral.
Exactly.
Either they're going to let you come or you're not. Why you got to come on TV with all of that?
Yes, yes.
God, that's personal family business.
What it is. It is.
If you're part of the family, he always had all his little wedlock children playing together. So if you really are part of the family, then you would already have an invitation.
Yeah, it was no secret that he had different families and different children, different sets of children. You know,
I wouldn't mind having me a couple of families. Maybe I can just maybe that's why I haven't, you know, like married, because maybe I'm looking for a combination of things and a combination of men, and I need to have a couple of families, like a man over here. Maybe I can build like my little compound, like you know, like some of these religious men do. And I have a family on this side and a family on that side. And we all come together and we just be a family.
Yep.
That may work.
Everybody's happy.
But yeah, I don't think the young lady meant no harm. She was just saying she wants to be able to come to her father's funeral. And this
why she gotta come all on TV with all of that though?
Yeah, I guess she was pleading,
with
them. And y'all, you know what? Now, this is Hot Topics we're talking about. Can I get one more Hot Topic in, y'all?
After the break. After the break. And Feather Light has a poem she wants to read.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Okay, let's go to the break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Lotus Show.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
No, I'm not a writer.
Okay.
Black Talk Radio, since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Brock Turner only gets 6 months in prison as a convicted rapist. One would think that someone convicted of 3 counts of sexual assault would get a substantial amount of time in prison. But Brock Turner will get out of prison before the year is out, with not much more than a slap on the wrist. For those that are just finding out, Brock Turner, a Stanford University swimmer, was caught raping an unconscious woman behind a dumpster. The woman didn't even know she was assaulted until after she woke up and heard about it in the papers. Turner pleaded not guilty to 5 counts of sexual assault. Some of these charges included attempted rape, rape of an unconscious person, and rape of an intoxicated person. He said that he was hooking up with her at a party, and he only fondled her, despite being caught and chased by 2 graduate students in the act. Why would an innocent person run? Oh, right, because they don't. This guy was found guilty and he only got 6 months in prison, though the maximum sentence was 10 years. The judge argues that he came to that decision because he had a clear criminal record and a harsher punishment would have a severe impact on him. What about the severe impact that he had on the woman he raped? The conviction has sparked outrage all over America with a petition to remove the judge who was assigned to his case from the bench. The most terrible part of this whole thing, if this guy knows that he can get off with only 6 months of prison time for raping someone, what's to stop him from doing it again? Yo, I know that once he's convicted, the charges will be much worse if he's a repeat offender, but he should still be punished more severely for this awful crime. Thank goodness, it seems that Stanford does not approve of this ruling and has banned him from the campus and offered support to the victim. Alright guys, that is all for now. Thank you for tuning into IO. My name is Charlotte. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and I'll see you guys in the next video.
All right, and that was just another news clip referencing rape, because we want to talk about how to avoid date rape, although this victim was not on a date with this rapist. She apparently had passed out behind the dumpster, or maybe he took her back there behind the dumpster. Mm-hmm. And he was found on top of her raping her by two bicyclists at Stanford mm-hmm. University.
And she was unconscious.
So mm-hmm. why, when you saw this woman on the ground, why would you proceed to rape her versus trying to find her friends and help her make it to her dorm room? So he was actually convicted of three felony rape charges by the jury, but the judge, and what is this judge's name? What is this man's name? But let me tell you, I'm so proud of people, especially their, what's his name, Judge Aaron Prisky. Judge Aaron Prisky at the Santa Clara County Court. People have been saying that they have been telling him, I cannot serve as a juror in your courtroom. They have been walking out. They have been sending this man and his family death threats. I'm not saying send a man death threats, but I'm just saying people are showing their anger.
Let them know. They're not going to put up with that.
Exactly. People have really been repelling this judge in every way. There's a recall, which, from my understanding, is going to be very difficult. There's no way. He's already I think it's some, whatever they do, submitted for his six more years, or been accepted or confirmed for 6 more years on the bench. But
well, I disagree with you on that, Black Rose, because I was watching mm-hmm. the news the other night, and they mm-hmm. said he's up for re-election, and he's up for re-election, and they are trying, if they can't get him out that way, they are mm-hmm. Appealing for a candidate to come forth. So right now, that's another way to stop him.
Because they were talking
about it last night on CNN News. They are looking for somebody to, because he's running now on a poll. So right now, they said anybody can, they're looking for anybody that they could take and run to go up against him.
Okay.
That's their next step right there.
Okay. Okay, I already won that election, have been confirmed, but I sure hope so.
Well, now, they just said the other night, they've got time to get a candidate, and they want somebody to run against him. So now that's mm-hmm. what they said the other night on CNN, because they was asking them a question. But I want to say, this is what I get ticked off with about. They said he had no criminal history. Mm-hmm. What about a lot of those black boys coming there that don't have no criminal history?
Mm-hmm.
But they get 30, 40 years. Because they have another case where a black boy he's a football player, and they got them side by side on Facebook. Everybody's putting it up on Facebook. And I'll send it to each one of y'all. And this boy raped a girl, him and he allegedly, but he was found guilty, him and three or four more other boys.
And they are trying to give this black boy 15 to 20 years. 15 to 20 years. Now, this girl was not unconscious, but she had been drinking. Now, this gal, him, was out cold, unconscious. And also, the girl's sister said he tried to put his tongue in her mouth that night. The girl's sister that he raped. Her sister.
And it also depends on the state, too, and what are the, like, the rape laws, how do they affect the case. So they are starting impeachment. Well, over one million people signed a petition asking for the California legislature to start impeachment proceedings for Aaron Prescott.
Yeah.
So
that's good.
At least people are standing up. Because if you do not consent to sex, then that is rape. And
rape.
No means no. And in terms of when you're on a date, let me just share my story. Oh, I'm so sorry. Before we go into that, pardon me. Featherlight, you have a poem to read for us.
Yes, I do. This is an old poem. It's not new, but it never, it's always inspirational, okay? It's always inspirational. So this is, Why Did You Make Me Black, Lord? Okay. So we all need to hear this. I think this is a good point for our children to hear, but then it's also good for us as adults to be reminded of who we are. And again, as I always push, to love ourselves. Lord, why did you make me black? What did you make them the world would hold? Black is the color of dirty clothes, of grimy hands and feet. Black is the color of darkness, of tired, beaten streets. Why did you give me thick lips, a broad nose, and kinky hair? Why did you create someone who receives the hated stare? Black is the color of the bruised eye when someone gets hurt. Black is the color of darkness. Black is the color of dirt. Why is my bone structure so thick? My hips and cheeks so high? Why are my eyes brown and not the color of the sky? Why do people think I'm useless? How come I feel so used? Why do people see my skin and think I should be abused? Lord, I just don't understand. What is it about my skin? Why is it some people want to hate me and not know the person within? Black is what people are labeled when others want to keep them away. Black is the color of shadows cast. Black is the end of the day. Lord, you know, my own people mistreat me. You know, this just ain't right. They don't like my hair. They don't like my skin. As they say, I'm too dark, or I'm too light. Lord, don't you think it's time to make a change? Why don't you redo creation and make everyone the same? And this is God's reply. Why did I make you black? Why? Did I make you black? I made you in the color of coal from which beautiful diamonds are formed. I made you in the color of oil, the black gold which keeps people warm.
Your color is the same as the rich, dark soil that grows the fruit we need. Your color is the same as the black stallion and the panther. Oh, what majestic creatures indeed. All colors of the heavenly rainbow can be found throughout every nation. When all these colors are blended, you become my greatest creation. Your hair is the texture of lamb's wool. Such a beautiful creature is he. I am the shepherd who watches them, and I will always watch over thee. You are the color of the midnight sky. I put star glitter in your eyes. There's a beautiful smile hidden behind your pain. That's why your cheeks are so high. You are the color of dark clouds from the hurricanes I create in September. I made your lips so full and thick, so when you kiss, they will remember. Your stature is strong, the bone structure thick to withstand the burden of time. The reflection you see in the mirror, that looks back, is mine. So get off your knees, look in the mirror and tell me what you see. I didn't make you in the morning image of darkness. I made you in the image of me. And that was by Runette Mia Ebo. Namaste.
Namaste, namaste. Why did you make me black? I always love to hear that. That is such an inspirational piece.
Yeah, I love it too. I love it too. I have it, all typed out, and I have this man. He's of this strong. Oh, his physique is just as described. You know, he's nude and he's bent over. You know, just showing his physique. You know, but he's bent over sideways, and he's just like he's beaten. You know, like he's down. He's got his head down, and then that's the beginning of the poem, and then at the end it's this man, and he's in this African colors, and then he's standing tall, and he has his hands outstretched, you know, in victory, you know.
Mm.
So we feel, you know, we feel down, beaten and hopeless, and like we just will never make it, and no one will ever respect us, and people always beat on us, you know, and we send out all this negative energy, and it keeps coming back to us, because we keep feeling, you know, like hopeless, and we don't love ourselves, you know. So that's why I really speak a lot on loving ourselves, you know, for myself as well as the audience. I think that is the first step that we must all take to love ourselves 100%, and things will just start rolling to a snowball effect after that, if we do that.
Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself and love yourself. Always remember. Thank you for that piece. I love all of the verses and how the verses just the God's response and sharing why I made you black, why I make whoever you are how you are, your feelings, your being, you, whatever it is, that's you, whatever.
Yeah.
And be happy with yourself. Be happy with yourself. Be yourself and love yourself.
It was meant to be.
It's you. That's right. That's you. Yeah. You are made as you are. Love yourself. Welcome in, Isaiah. How are you, Isaiah? What's going on?
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, this is what's going on. I know it's a terrible thing that the lady was raped, but I'll tell you, I would love to see that same outcry of people and the judges when they make these outlandish situations where people have lost their lives unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. I would love to see that happen on those times. So rape is one thing and they're both terrible, but death is permanent.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
And we do need people to care as much in those communities that
about a
life saying a thing. Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Absolutely.
And also
absolutely.
In mm-hmm. In the same vein and talking about this type of situation where this young girl was found behind the dumpster. People, you cannot get so intoxicated to the point where you are falling out and watch your beverages. Watch your beverages. Let's let Delta Cooper give her last hot topic so we can tell people on how to avoid date rape. And Delta, you have a letter. Someone needs some help with something.
Okay, well, I had one lady said that she told me last night, and this is a true story, but she told me, and she's a very good friend of mine, and she told me that she was raped, and I was just flabbergasted. I couldn't even hardly believe it. She told me, listening at how the young man raped the woman behind the dumpster, she says, I never said anything to anybody, but she said, Dorothy, I'm a victim of rape. And she said it brought back so many memories. She said it's something that haunts you. It never leaves your mind. She said something just eat at you and eat at you. She said something literally destroy you if you can't deal with it. But she said, it never leaves my mind. It's always in the back of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she said it was a date rape. She went on a date, and the person raped her. So we have to be very, very careful as ladies who we go out with. We got to be very careful because now you don't know what are you getting into. You just never know.
And you know what I think about...
Go ahead.
Well, I think about that film, and I'll tell you, when I watch that film, it's almost like it just pulls so much emotion out of me. What is that? Tyler Perry and Oprah's film for Color Girls, the film version of what's her name, Nozomi Shenge, for Color Girls who committed suicide when the rainbow wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that scene where the lady, she knows, well, she feels like she knows this man because she sees him every morning on the way to work, and they talk and they flirt. Finally, she invites him over for dinner, and he rapes her on her floor, in the floor of her home.
Yeah.
And she's so shocked and stunned by it all, and so hurt by it all, that he's raping her. And so sometimes you may not be drinking. No date rape drug has been dropped in your drink or anything. You're actually out with someone and you think that this is a safe person.
Yeah.
This will be a safe evening out. I was out with this guy. We weren't even like dating in a relationship. We were just going out. Went back over his house. He was a cop, or like former cop, something like that. I believe he was still a cop. And he kept trying to force on me, had me pinned down on the floor. Of course, he was a lot stronger than me. And I was like beginning to feel exhausted. And then I was like, you know what? And I just I said, okay, how can I get out of this with this crazy fool that's like about to rape me, forcing himself on me now? And I just looked at him and I said, I just stopped struggling with him, and I said, at this point, this will be rape. You know that this is rape, right? And that's the only thing that stopped him. He got up, pulled off his,
put it in his face.
Pulled his pants. I had to put it in his face, because you're either going to have to deal with the consequences of killing me right here in your house, or dealing with me reporting this as a rape. So whichever one you want to do.
That's
anyway,
what it is. Interference.
That's what it is. That's what it is. So, but I remember. And man, he was an idiot. So, but I remember adults telling us when we were younger, we were hearing about stories. Because, Featherlight, I think it was one of your friends who had a friend whose daughter was away at college. She was in a band, really smart, attractive girl. Someone put something in her drink. The girl hadn't been right since.
Yeah.
It messed her up.
Oh, my God.
So,
permanent damage.
Whatever they put in her drink, it just permanently damaged her. Mm. She was like a vegetable after that.
Yeah.
And I just, that stuck with me all of my life. And I remember going out with friends and we're going out with, say, coworkers. And because me and my friends, we knew not to do that. I would go out with, you know, people, and they would sit their drinks down and say, oh, let's go dance. I'm like, I'll dance when I finish with this drink. Or whatever. And they're like, oh, no, sit it down. Nobody's going to mess with it. No. I don't play those kind of games. I don't play putting a napkin over it. And in this day and time, these people, they working with the bartender, so you need to watch the bartender.
Oh, that's right.
They work with the bartender. So
you need to
go to the bar. Watch, I mean, just watch your drink. Just be careful. Be extremely careful, because these people are so slick. So, let me see.
You can cough. You know, somebody's sitting next to you at the bar. You're watching your drink. You can cough in that instant. And you turn back around. It's done. It's done. Someone on you, you can drink. Somebody's up to you're not familiar with, all close to you, so that if you blink your eye, they're so swift with it, so well trained with it, you didn't even happen.
That's a scary thing. Now, I had another incident. Once again, I was visiting this guy. That's why I said, now you have to be careful about going over to these men's homes, because these people are so crazy. And I just thank God. I can just think about all the many crazy incidents that I've been in. And I just have to be thankful that I was being watched over and was able to think my way out of these situations and listen to the wisdom that was coming into my head from the ancestors on what the hell to do, because I've been in some stupid, crazy situations that I knew I should not have gotten myself into, but I just always felt fearless. I'm like, oh, I'll get out of it. If something happens, nope, I'm going to do this. And just always thought everything through when I would take these chances.
Yeah.
I would think it through. What can I do? I said, because I know how people are. I would always, when I would ride with people in the car and they would go down all of these different roads, I would always look at the street, because I would say, if they trap me in a house, I know exactly where the hell I am. I know what streets I can tell somebody or figure out how to get out of here or whatever, something. And I knew my way around the city. Oh, most definitely. I didn't play that because I grew up with these kind of crazy people. So, I mean, not people that kidnap people, but I just knew of different stories and things that people would do. And, so now, what story is this that I'm on? I had so many stories. Which one am I trying to share now?
You were visiting this guy.
Visiting this guy. I was in Miami, Florida. That's right. Met this guy on the beach, and So, you know, I'm all like Dale, so I'm money hungry. I'm trying to, you know, meet somebody with some money on the beach and all of this, you know. And so I'm like jogging, you know, trying to do the LaMama thing, jogging on the beach. I meet this guy jogging on the beach, and he tells me he stays on the beach. And I'm like, oh, good. Ooh, all right, cool. I'm thinking, you know, I'm about to go up in one of these nice apartments here on the beach. Yes, yes, I'm going over to his house. I know he has some money, da-da-da-da-da-da. Of course, he stayed in one of the ragged apartments on the beach, one of the broke-down ones on the beach. When I get there, I'm like, ugh, see, that's what I get. And and so he was like, you want something to drink? I think I'm being smart. I'm like, no, just give me some apple juice, you know, some water or whatever. I'm not going to have anything to drink. And I called myself watching him. I really did. I was watching him. But in retrospect, he was like, he really had his back to me trying to, like, do whatever he was doing. Because I actually did try to watch him as he was in his kitchen. And he kept trying to, like, fumble with my clothes and everything. And I promise, the next thing I remember, I woke up with the sun in my face. Wow. And I was on his sofa by myself, the last place where we were sitting. And he was in his bedroom with the door closed or whatever, I guess. I don't know. I know I looked and I was like, what the hell happened? I grabbed my crap and I got out of there. And wow. So I don't know what happened. Because, like I said, I didn't drink any alcohol. I called myself trying to be safe. Now, mind you, this was like over 20 years ago. I called myself trying to be safe by not drinking any alcohol. And Lord knows, I love my Delta. No, I love my little wine. And back then, I was drinking everything: gin, vodka, you know, tequila. I'm in Miami, you know. So but I really do to this day believe that he put something in my drink. My clothes were still on, but my bra was a little twisted, but I couldn't remember if that was from him constantly fidgeting with my bra and me telling him to stop or what. So that was another experience. And so that's why I just say, you know, I've experienced men forcing themselves on me. And has anyone ever been in a situation whereas you were with a man and he's just so focused on trying to get some and trying to force himself on you that you just said, God, dog, and just gave up so that he wouldn't just make the rape or whatever even more, how could you say, feather light or delta or ice high, more harmful or more, help me out with what I'm trying to say, if you know what I mean, if you experienced it or know someone that experienced it.
More realistic, like it's really rape. If you go on and get in, then it won't be considered in your mind as rape.
Yeah.
But if you, I don't know, it's hard to explain. I know what you're saying, though. But it's like you really didn't want to. You were tired of struggling. You didn't know if he was going to hurt you, you know, through force. You were a little bit afraid.
Would he start punching you? Should you just go head on? When he's fighting, you told him no, he's still going at it. He's still trying to pull your pants down, and you're telling him no.
Yeah.
That's a horrible feeling.
Yeah. And for me, if I've got the strength, like if I'm not like I'm conscious or you know too intoxicated or whatever, which that's a different story. But if I've got some strength, like you, Black Rose. It ain't happening. We're going to be rolling on this floor. We're going to be rolling on this floor because, no, if I do not know something's going to happen to it, you know, and I do know that there are women, because it's common, whereas a man feels like he's kissed you before, you liked it, and why not, and go and give it up. Oh, I'm going to take it.
That's right. That's right. Even if you've had relations with him before, if you say no, and then he forces himself on you, then that's right. No is no. Yeah.
Mm. So if it's your boyfriend and he's there, or what about your husband? You know, a lot of women they don't feel like that's maybe rape. That is rape. What do you ladies say? If the lady says, if she says no, is it rape?
It is rape. It is rape. Because that is still her body. You, when you sign that marriage certificate, which is something that the Europeans came up with in the first place, it does not say, this body of mine now belongs to him, and he can do whatever he wants to, whenever he wants. I know some women do not agree with me, but I'm just being for real. It's how I see it. This is still my body. And just because we signed a marriage certificate, I mean, there are a lot of women and men too, after a while, they just don't want to do it anymore. It's like, well,
I want to ask Delta, because I know Delta's Church of God in Christ, and there may be some rules to that with Church of God in Christ. So do you have to have sex with your husband, Delta?
Okay, now, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
So with Church of God in Christ, I know Church of God in Christ has certain rules, or used to have certain rules. With the Church of God in Christ, do you have to have sex with your husband even if you don't want to?
Well, can I give you my opinion? Okay, the church.
No, we want the rule first. We want the rule.
Okay, the rule is, well, I put it like this. One of the mothers in my church said that she had been married 60 years. And we was having marriage ministry. And she said that she never told her husband that she had a headache. Never in 60 years. Never. So, but the church, the Bible said that your body don't belong to you, and your body don't belong to you, it belongs to the husband. And the husband's body don't belong to him, it belongs to you, the wife. So what they're saying is, if you're not sick or if you're not, but if you're not sick or anything, they said that you shouldn't turn your husband away. Under no circumstance, you shouldn't turn your husband away.
Sometimes a woman just does not feel like.
Well, if you don't feel like it, my auntie said, put it where he can get it. You just back it up to him and just lay there.
What?
In other words, just give in.
Oh.
Just lay down and let him stick it in. Let him get his little jollies off. So it's nothing for you.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can imagine
energy.
A lot of women
that's not
done
good
that.
Energy.
That's what?
I'm not saying that it's not being done, but that's not good energy. Sexual energy is very creative. It's wonderful. It's exciting. I mean, it's supposed to be all those wonderful things, so you keep doing it and enjoying it and procreating. It's not supposed to be, throw up the leg. You're done. It's not supposed to be like that.
Well, I ain't gonna lie. I have backed it up a many times and didn't get nothing out of it, and let them do what they want. Let Papa do what he want, and I went on to sleep.
That's why you need your legs thrown up in the air. You need your little wig twisted around. You need some sweat dripping off of you. Some drool coming out the right side of the left side of your mouth.
Yeah.
You need your toes to curl and your back to arch, honey.
You need your toes Oh, my gosh.
Well, the church do teach you to have sex with your husband. They say if you're not sick, you should have sex with your husband. They teach that.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree
mm-hmm.
with them on that. I agree with them 100%.
Well, you know what? I didn't know that your Church of God. Go ahead, Satellite.
What did you say?
This is just a sarcastic pun, but you would not be a good candidate for tantra sex, because tantra sex, the woman's enjoyment, satisfaction is paramount. It's number one. It's paramount. It comes before anything else. Then the man gets his.
And they teach
us. But the woman gets hers. She is just totally satisfied first. And that's kind of it.
Well, they teach us anyway, let the man be more aggressive, not the woman.
Well, you know what? I see another thing, too, that the Church of God in Christ and Delphi, you're going to have to change your views and go along with your Church of God in Christ, because the Church of God in Christ has affirmed universal rights to homosexual marriage.
No, that hadn't come down from Bishop Blake. No, Bishop Blake hadn't affirmed that. If he affirmed that, that would have been all over the Church of God in Christ. And I know he's not going to confirm that, because he...
I'm going to send you, I'll have to send it to you.
No, but it ain't come from him, because let me tell you why. I know it ain't come from him, because he goes
up for... Bishop Charles Blake endorsed his gay marriage declaration. I'm looking at it.
Nah.
But this is, but you know what, we can research this. We can research
it. Yeah, because he ain't did that.
That's why I said we can't believe everything.
He goes up for election, babe, in November. He goes up for election.
That's why I say you have to read a few articles.
Yeah, research that. That's saying he said that. No, baby, because he goes up for election.
But
I know he's not
going
to do
that,
because he's going to get voted out.
Defend your bishop. Check on that and let us know.
Yeah, so where did you get the article from that said he defends gay marriage? I'm looking at it here on... Let's see. Is this a Kojic blog? Kojic.org.
Oh, okay.
Church of God in Christ.
Yeah, I would find it hard to...
Mm-hmm.
No, because we don't even believe in lady preachers, so I know we're not even finna move.
I would doubt if that was his actual statement. That's some kind of old propaganda somebody put out. Them people are so, that's why I couldn't get the Women United to welcome them here when they came for the Women's Convention in Minneapolis. I had the wrong title.
I tell you,
drop it like it's hot. Even though it had nothing to do with anything sexual, they wouldn't.
Somebody's gonna be surprised.
Yeah.
Well,
he goes up for election in November.
He may not personally feel that way, but he may have made that statement for political reasons. You just don't know. You just don't know.
Check it out and let us know, Deb, about that. Because if it is, then they're slandering the Church of God in Christ.
Exactly. Because we're not the only ones who read that. And if that's a lie, that needs to be, cleared up with the equipment.
There's all kind of stuff on there that is not accurate now.
I know that's right.
That's a whole bunch of stuff.
That's to be a slander.
I mean, because you don't know who's putting it out there, whose blog it is, or what's going on with some of these people. So,
Let me give the definition of campus sexual assault, and then we're going to get into Delta's letter. Campus sexual assault is defined as the sexual assault of a student attending an institution of higher learning, such as a college or university. Despite the name, less than 40% of reported incidents occur on campus property, although many occur on properties of fraternities active at the school. The U.S. Department of Justice defines sexual assault as any type of sexual contact or behavior that occurs without the explicit consent of the recipient and includes forced sexual intercourse, forcible sodomy, child molestation, incest, fondling, and attempted rape. So, let's see. They say the rate of violent crime against higher education students aged 18 to 24 in the United States declined significantly from 1995 to 2002. Be careful. Any advice that you ladies of wisdom would like to share about how to avoid date rape before we get into Delta's letter?
You know what? I always have a problem with that word date rape. Rape is rape. What is that?
Rape
you know.
Is rape, right.
Rape is rape for me, and one of the things we haven't even touched on is the number of boys that get raped, and they very seldom come forward because it is a terrible travesty for a lot of them. When that happens to them, they don't want to get pegged as, you know, gay or homosexual, and then some of them get just beaten down into it until that's what they decide that they do, and then they just succumb to being used in that way.
Well, I want to come up this question about date rape. Is the reason why we don't say date rape is because a lot of women don't think that they've been raped because they agreed to go on a date. So they have actually been raped and don't know that they've been raped. It was a long time before it came into my mind that I actually was date raped because, I mean, I said no, but like Black Rose, I mean, next thing I know, I was just like, you know, on the floor, and I'm like, no, stop, you know, and the next thing I know, he had done what he wanted to do, and I'm like, what just happened? You know, and I got up, and when I'm home, years later, I said, this was date rape. But I didn't think of it as rape, I just think, well, he took it, and I didn't want him to take it. That's why we need to let the women know, and men too, that it is rape. Just
it's
because
rape.
They're on the date does not mean it's rape. But we need to let them, that's why we say date rape. You know, I mean, there are different kinds of murder. You know, murder is murder, but there are different kinds of murder. So that's why, you know, I think it helps people to know that there is such a thing as date rape.
I don't think it's such a thing as a date
there.
Rape. Rape is rape.
It just doesn't
make any difference. Rape is rape. When somebody violates your body and you're saying no, stop, don't do that.
We need to let people know that there is such a, that is rape still, because you're on the date does not mean that it's not rape. A lot of people don't know this.
Well, I think they should be knowing that it's just rape, that they got raped. Somebody they knew raped them.
When we say date rape, we're saying, you know, you were raped. That's when we say date rape. Do you know that you were
right.
raped?
Well, when you say date rape, it's to me, when you say date rape, and I'll stop it at this, it means that to me, it's saying that the woman has to take responsibility of the actions of that individual, what they did to her, and that's why I don't teach about date rape to anybody or young girls when I work with them in the high schools. It's just rape. You got raped.
And like I get what you're saying. Like it's just rape, and that's what it is. It's just the term that people attach to that whole. I'm out on a date, but this person raped.
To soften the blow. To soften the blow to the person who raped you, to me, is and I think that judge there, that the boy, the swim team guy that was raping the woman behind the dumpster, and she was knocked out. I mean, that judge probably looked at that because he told him, well, they hooked up to do blah blah blah, and she ended up. And when you say date rape, that tends to soften the legal implications. It tends to soften everything around what happened to the woman.
To me, when they say date rape, I thought it meant that was acquaintance. That means that was acquaintance that you knew. And they don't really consider that. That's what I'm thinking.
That's why I don't like it, because that's right. That's exactly what it is. And someone you knew, and they don't think it's as traumatic for you since it was someone you knew.
That you knew.
Well,
and that's
when
the whole
when I heard the word date rape, that's when I realized that I had been raped. So that's the perspective that I'm coming from. It's from my personal experience, because I didn't know that I had been raped because I was actually out with him. So
because you felt like
what did you think had happened to you?
I thought that he had sex with me, and I didn't want him to. Period.
That's what rape is.
But get what I'm saying.
I understand.
Get what I'm saying. I didn't go talking to anybody about it. I was embarrassed about it. You know, so I didn't even trust it. I did in the back of my mind feel badly about it, but then I did feel like, well, I shouldn't have gone with him. I didn't know.
Right.
I was feeling bad on myself. I did something wrong. When I heard the word date rape, I was like, wait a minute. He raped me.
Right,
you know,
so at the time you didn't feel like it was a rape. You didn't understand that it was rape at the time until you heard that this is called date rape when you're out with someone, an acquaintance, like Mother Dunning said. An acquaintance, someone that you're out on a date with, but they force themselves on you and they rape you.
Right.
And then back then, you were too, back then.
They didn't know that.
And see, I want
people were too ashamed.
And men listening up to the show tonight to know that that is rape. And
that is rape.
Just because it's an acquaintance does not excuse the fact.
Just because you went out to dinner, you paid for dinner, you paid for drinks, you paid for the movie, that does not mean that she's supposed to have sex with you. And when she says no, you can still take it. That is still rape. Because if you want sex like that, then just you can call up any service to have them all through these papers, all online, and you can pay for a prostitute, a call girl, whatever, and you can have sex.
No,
like
you don't
that.
Have to. Black Rose, you don't have to pay for it. The young girls give it away free. They give it away
they
for
do.
They
That's
give
right.
it away free.
Yeah, so you don't have to take it from anybody.
Find somebody who's willing to just
well, but you know, this is the thing. Most of them don't want it given away. They're getting off on the power and control of the
that's
whole
right.
action, okay? And so it's about power and control for them, so they don't want the girls that give it away. They want the one. It's a turn-on for them. That's what rape is all about.
Rape is about power.
And it seems to me that if that person is about, and if someone can actually just rape a woman and overpower her and violate her like that, you know, they really, that's what they do. They're a serial rapist because they out all the time, and that's what they do with women. They just take what they want physically from them. Because, see, you got to have some, that takes skill to do that.
And why would you want to rape something? Why would you want it?
Well, we can't get into their minds.
It's a turn on for them.
Like she just said, it's a power thing. It's a way
and I think that a lot of times that person who
okay,
does
we
that,
better get into
our
letter, y'all.
They don't have power somewhere else, and so they're exhibiting their power on this person.
Mhm. All right, let's get to Delta's letter. Thank you, ladies. Sisters, that was a great dialogue around that, and I hope that we enlighten some people and help some people to.
But also, we need to keep this going, too. This is something we need to keep going. I must say that.
Yes.
This is something we need to keep going about and let women know how to protect themselves.
Yes. And I would say, let me just add this quickly. Take a women's self-defense class.
I was just getting ready to say that. Take a self-defense
class. Be ready to
class.
Defend yourself physically.
With just
Do
a
that.
Few quick moves.
A few quick moves, and one quick, I can just share this with everybody because you can visualize this. I took a women's self-defense course, and this guy, he showed us, just imagine if you're standing face-to-face with a man, and he begins to choke you, so just think of a man putting both of his hands around, his big strong hands around your neck to choke you, and he's going to choke you and try to push you down on the ground. What you do, you make the ugliest face you can make, and then you shrink your neck. Just think of like when you pull your neck in, like if you were a snake or something, just shrink your neck. That's going to release his grip around your hands, his hands around your neck. And plus, it's going to throw him off because you're making this ugly face.
It
just throws him completely off. And you have that space to wiggle out of his hands. And while he's stunned looking at your face and looking at how you just shrunk your neck, you kick him in the, mm-hmm. you know what, in the groin, and mm-hmm. you get the hell out of there. Punch him, kick him in the groin, punch him in the eyes, and get the hell out of there. So that's a little safety tip. All right,
that's
so Dear Delta, let's read this letter. Dear Delta, this is a good one too. I will make this short and to the point. I have been dating a man for about 5 months, going on 6. He is very kind, considerate, passionate, and gainfully employed with benefits. I enjoy his company, and all seems good. He wants to take me and my little girl, who is 10, to Orlando, Florida this summer for a Disney vacation. At first, I was very excited about the trip until her father said that he doesn't want his daughter going on the trip because of this new friend. He says that I have known the man long enough to be taking his daughter on a trip with him. Delta, is he right for being paranoid, or is he just being a jerk because he often tries to interfere when I meet someone new? I'm honestly afraid of anything happening to my baby with all of these people molesting children and men attacking women. So should I put off the family-like trip? I feel safe with him, but I just don't know. What should I do? Tripping.
Well, she shouldn't even be asking us that question, because really she unanswered herself, because she have a little doubt in the back of her mind. And really, I must say this today, most of the women don't hardly know a man at long anyway. They won't even know them 2 or 3 days or a week before they even sleep with them. They'll bring them in the same day and the same night around their kids. So I don't think you should go off with a man that you really have, to me, listen at the letter, she have a little uncertain in her mind anyway.
Only because her husband put the date. Wait a minute, you got married in 3 months. Now this lady, she's still dating a man. It's almost six months.
But I got married. But let me tell you what, I was an older woman, and I knew about life. And I knew that when I met my husband, I knew it was something different about him. I knew it.
Well,
I knew it immediately. I knew it. And so what I'm saying, I'm still married to this day. I'm still married. And that'll be going on 14 years. So what I'm saying is, I didn't just jump up and pop. You asked Papa about me. Papa thought I was crazy. Papa thought I was crazy. I didn't let Papa hold my hand. I didn't let Papa do all this stuff that he wanted to do and all this stuff. Papa thought I was crazy. But when Papa went to church with me, Papa understood where I was coming from. I said, the things that you want from me, I said, you got to marry me. I said, the things that you want from me. He'll tell you this right here himself. I told him this. I said, the stuff that you want from me, you got to marry me. And he did. He saw something in me, and I saw something in him. I didn't let him come and run all over my house. I didn't let my child see him with me until I got ready to get married. When my son saw him, I was ready to get married. The problem is today, the girls are bringing them in the same day, the same night. Then when they get mad with this one, they'll chunk this one out and bring them in. But let's go on back to the thing. I don't think she should. And if the husband have doubt about his daughter, you shouldn't do it anyway. Until he until the husband feel comfortable. The husband, she must not know them long enough, because the husband, in the letter, she said the husband said that she hadn't knew him long enough. So that tells you right there, there's a problem. She hadn't known them long enough.
She said she's known 5 going on 6 months.
Well, I wouldn't go out of town. Why take your daughter out of town with him? if you and your daughter go out of town with him, you need to get your own room with you and your with you and your daughter.
Now
he
I like that.
He don't need to be in the room with you and your daughter.
Oh no, hell no, not in the room with.
I mean that's.
And knowing 5 months, she probably got to spend the night and everything else.
No, but I like that, Delta. I hope that she already considered that to have
someone else
join them on the trip and watch her baby. And
that is correct.
Spend time with him.
And then when I went in, and then I must back up and say this. And when I, Papa didn't even hold my hand in front of my child. And my boy was 17 years old. He was 17. And you got to have respect for yourself. And then that way, you will never be able, when I be able to go to my grave and they take dirt and throw it over my face, this is my philosophy. I want my child to stand over before me and say, I never seen my mama do this. I never seen my mama live this kind of way before me. I never seen my mama do this. That is what I want my legacy. I want my legacy to be that. My children have never, ever heard me say a cuss word from my lips. Never.
Now, Delta, okay, so you want to tell... Delta, wait a minute. Let's make sure the lady knows.
Okay, let's stay on the letter. Let's go back. No, if you go on the trip, you put you and your daughter in a separate room.
Should she let the father meet the man? Should she let them meet so that maybe he can feel more comfortable? Maybe they go. Maybe the two guys go out for a beer or some juice.
They could kind of meet each other. They can kind of meet each other, but I wouldn't let him. I wouldn't let her go until the father feel comfortable.
I wouldn't let them go, never. I wouldn't be trying to take my child out of town with a man. Period. If you marry, that's one thing, but it's just too many perverts nowadays. You end up disappearing somewhere like, what's that little Holloway girl?
Yeah, unless
she's done an extensive, like, criminal background check on him, which is easy to do. Go to the little county records and go through and see if he has any kind of record. You have to do all those things on these people because these are probably young people getting out and to the world. And so I wouldn't be doing anything like that. And even if there's nothing there, could be one of these kind that never got caught. I'm just so skeptical now of people with this. Pedophilia is rising and rising and rising. You think they're wanting you. They want your little girl.
Or your little boy.
Yeah. So I just think she really needs to be careful about that, like her ex-husband is telling her. I wouldn't 5 or 6 months, and you never knew the person before. You know anybody that know him? What kind of person is this? If I knew all that, I really wouldn't be trying to go out of town with him, with my child. I would, if I wanted to, and we wanted to do that, I would maybe take a trip with him
and
by myself, but I wouldn't take my child. It'd be an adult vacation.
I like what you said. I said, how about, does anybody know him? How long have you known him? Because when we were coming up, now I may have like gone out with somebody or gone over to their house, but I have a friend named Camille. And back in the day, when I meet someone, that was the first thing. She was our, criminal background check person. All you had to do was run that name by her. She's going to tell you his family, his cousins, what he do, what he don't do, all of that. She could tell you
and
about
that's
somebody
good.
Else. Exactly, and I would laugh at first, and I would say, girl, you think you know everybody? And she'd say, I do, and come to find out, she would. And so that was, I would always run their name through her. So even though I may have, you know, gone over these people's homes and all that, people like her, they knew this person. She knew that I was going out with this person. If anything happened to me, she can track it back and let my folks know. So I always looked at it like that, and so, yes, you do have to be careful. Let somebody know what you're doing. Stop trying to sneak off and have these little affairs and romance.
Nobody knows.
I hate to say romance, but
mm-hmm.
these outings with these people, and nobody knows anything. Nobody knows where you're going. They don't have his number or her number or whatever, because these girls set men up too. So you have
mm-hmm.
to be extremely careful. So, mm-hmm. absolutely. Well, Death, I think you gave us some good advice. I think everybody shared some good points with
us. Yeah,
the
only thing I say about it is you need to be careful with your kids. The girls,
mm-hmm.
they bring too many men around the kids.
Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm. And they just have no, to me, I think they don't have no self-worth, not even about themselves and not even about their kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if she's concerned like that, if he has planted those thoughts in her head, I would say try to arrange the trip when you and a girlfriend can go, and maybe she can bring her child and you meet
mm-hmm.
him there.
That
and
is
I'll
correct.
Meet you there, and you know, we'll
mm-hmm.
see what's what or whatever if it's
and
like
can I
that.
Say this, and can I say this, Black Rose, if you don't mind? And women
mm-hmm.
don't know, when you do stuff like that, men will respect you a lot more.
They sure will. Mm-hmm.
They will respect you a lot more.
They know you're being safe and careful.
Right.
You're smart.
Right.
You're
right.
thinking things through. You're not just running around
right.
with some man just because he said, let's go on a trip.
Exactly.
Like you've never been anywhere before. You know?
Right. Exactly.
All right.
Oh,
you never been to
Disneyland.
Black
woman ain't been nowhere, no way.
Now, Delta, too.
Well,
oh,
true. Lord, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't go anywhere until I married my husband.
You're 58-19.
All right, ladies. Well, thank you so much. And namaste, namaste, and namaste.
Namaste.
Namaste.